Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chof Aleph. And we're learning today, Lili Nishmas, Mike Teplitsky's mother, Tzina Feiga Bas Rav Moshe Isser. And also yesterday was the yard site of Fanny Judenberg, Feiga Bas Avram Halevi, Joe Judenberg's mother. All the Nishonos we learned from should have an aliyah. We begin with the Mishnah, towards the top of Kuf Chof Aleph, Omer Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Nachri Sheba L'chabos, if a non-Jewish person comes to put out a fire on Shabbos. Now, I want to preface all of the discussions that we're having in regards to Hilcha Shabbos, that they all are talking about a case where there's absolutely zero concern of Pikuach Nefashos. Their houses were set up in a different way. The one house wouldn't automatically burn down the other one, or whatever the situation was, that it's absolutely where there's no situation of Pikuach Nefashos at all, even a Suffolk Pikuach Nefashos. But if there's even the slightest concern of Pikuach Nefashos, then you're allowed to go actively lechatchila, your mechuyev, to go put out the fire. So again, I want to stress that, because if I don't stress that, people may mistakenly chas v'shalom think that on Shabbos you're not allowed to put out a fire if there's any risk of life. If there's any risk of life whatsoever, you put out the fire. So here we're talking about the zero risk of life. So Nochri comes to put out a fire. You have a fire in your house, nobody's in the house, there's no other house nearby, there's zero risk to life. Nochri comes, says, I'll put out the fire. So what's the halacha? Ain't omer lo chabe, you're not allowed to tell him, yes, put out the fire. However, you also, v'al techaba, you're not mechuyev to tell him, don't put out the fire. In other words, you can sit there and let him do what he wants. You can't tell him to put it out, but you're not mechuyev to stop it to put it out. Why? Because it's not your responsibility to tell a non-Jewish person what he is or isn't allowed to do on Shabbos. The din over here is that you can't tell him to do something to you, as Rashi brings down, because that would be Amir Liakum. And even though it's only the Rabbanan over here, you still wouldn't be allowed to tell him Amir Liakum is the Rabbanan, but you're not allowed to go and tell him over here to put out the fire. Tosus points out, Afilu Bisa Rabbanan, Amir Lenachri Shvus, that still is an Issa Rabbanan. So Rashi Tosus both say the same thing over here, that that's why you can't tell him to put it out. But you're not obligated in his shvisa. You're only obligated in your family, your household, your animals, shvisa, and you don't own this guy. He can do whatever he wants, and therefore you don't have to tell him, don't put it out. However, Abul Khatan, a Jewish child that comes, Shabbat Lechavos, he comes to go and put the fire out, so ain't shomalo. You don't listen to him. In other words, you tell him, you're not allowed to do this. Why? Because he is your responsibility. As the pasuk says, "Ato uvincha vitecha." So you have to go make sure that a Jewish person doesn't go and do other sins. More, we'll talk about this more. Let's start the more right now. Am Ravami. Ravami comes to tell us, "Bidleika," in regards to a fire, "Hitiru lomar," you are allowed to say, in general, "Kol amachaba eino mafsid." You can announce in front of the goyim that are there, if somebody were to put this out, there will not be a loss to them. In other words, they will get a reward. And therefore, well, you're not allowed to tell them, please put it out. You can say, if the fire gets put out by somebody, they will not be upset. They'll get a reward. Now, Mora says, let's bring a proof to what Ravami said from our Gemara, from our Mishnah. Name of Messiah, let's say our Mishnah supports what Ravami said. Because our Mishnah said, Nochri Shebo L'chabos, if the goy comes to put it out, we said, Ein Omrim Lo Kabe V'Yatachabe. You're not allowed to tell them to put it out. You're not allowed to tell them, don't put it out. However, that, as we said in the Mishnah, because I'm not obligated to stop him from doing work. So the Mishnah seems to imply, Kabehu, I'm not allowed to tell him, put it out, the law of Marino Le. That I can't say. The implication being, I am allowed to say, Ha, call Hamachabe, Eno Masid, Marino Le. I am allowed to say, however, if this fire gets put out by somebody, they're not going to lose out, because then I'm not telling him directly. So it seems to be a raya to what Ravami said from the beginning of our Mishnah. Where it says, no, it's not a raya, Amos Sefer, keep on reading. Then it said, Atachabe, Lomrin Le. I'm not obligated to tell him stop if he goes and puts it out. So Rashi explains, I'm only not allowed to tell him stop. I don't have to tell him, you can't do that. However, Umiyu, however, Begilui died to the Lo Yavsid Bedover, but to tell him that you're not going to lose if you put it out, Nami Lo Mishteri, that's also not allowed. Because if that were allowed, so then Lomalei Lemis and Sefer and Tzorech Limchos, then if that were true, then he wouldn't have to tell me, I don't have to tell him to stop. If I'm allowed to tell him you're not going to lose, I certainly wouldn't have to tell him that you're allowed to stop. So therefore, the implication of the Sefer is not like Ravami. So the implication of the Reish is like Ravami. The implication of the Sefer is not like Ravami. So the Gemara says, Ela Meha, Rashi has the gear, so Ela Meha, Lekha Lemishmarine. You can't bring him Raya one way or the other. So Rashi says, Devad Demas Nisan, Lav Kula dafka. It's not necessarily telling me one way or the other. Elachodminaya dafka, or ratio sefer. It's not the same implication for the ratio and the sefer. Therefore, both implications are ignored. Tosus points out over here, Mikol Makom, Dibra Maskel Elamiha, says, Mikol Makom, Kaima like Ravami. We Paschal like Ravami, and the Rishami says, Sha'os Ravami, Maisa is that. Not only did he say it in the base medrash, but he did it Halacha Lamaisa. So you are allowed to go and tell the statement, Kolam Achabe, Eino Mausid. Anybody that does put it out will not lose. You're not telling him directly, that's indirectly, and that is allowed. Marketing says Tana Rabbanon, Ma'isa v'nofel d'leika b'chatzero shel Yosef ben Simoi b'shichin. Once was such a ma'isa that a fire happened nebuch in the courtyard of this person Yosef ben Simoi. He was a great person, and he lived in the town of Shichin. Ubo anshe Gistura shel Tzipori, and the people from Gistura, that's the Shultan, Rashi says, the men from the monarch's house, the governor's house, from Tzipori, came to put it out. Why did they come to put it out? Because he was the king's officer. Rashi says he was Mamuna Amamono. He was the secretary of the treasury for this governor, for this Gistura. Now, and the reason is because that's why they came, to help him. But he said, stop, I'm not going to let you go put out my house, because it's Shabbos, and I let my house burn down. Again, there was zero pikuach nefashos, and he said, I'm happy to let my house burn down. I don't want you to put it out and, quote, dishonor the Shabbos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very impressed by this person. The Nasalo Nes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a Nes, the Yaradu Gishomim, Hashem makes it rain, the Kibu, and all the fire went out. That night, after Shabbos is over, La'erev, Shigar L'kol Echemihim, he sent to every one of the officers that came, all the soldiers that came from this Gistur Shul Tzipori, from this governor over there in Tzipori, this monarch in Tzipori, and he sent every one of them Shnei Slaim, a large amount of money. U'la'afirchosh v'hen, and their leader, he sent it to the one that was in charge, the captain in charge of these officers, Chamishim, he sent them 50 Slaim. U'kishishamu Chachamim, when the rabbis heard about this Badavar, they said, Amu, he didn't have to do that. He just spent a lot of money over here for no reason. Because we learned in our Mishnah, Shari Shaninu, Nochri Shabol Lechabos, if the guy comes to put it out, ain't Omrim lo kabe v'al tekabe. Well, you're not allowed to tell him to put it out. You're also not mechuyev to stop him. You don't have to tell him, no, please don't put it out. So this Yosef ben Simoi, he went lifnei Meshur Sadin. It wasn't necessary to do that. The plain halacha would be that he would be allowed to go and put it out. Now, why did Yosef ben Simoi do this? So the Ben Yehuda gives three reasons over here as to why he paid this huge amount of money to all the soldiers and to their captain to not put out the fire. Why did he do this? They didn't do anything. So number one, he says he paid them all this money, so they shouldn't think it was like an insurance scam, some sort of a fraud over here. Oh yeah, he lit the fire and now they're coming to put it out, but he wants the insurance money for the place. So that's number one. Number two, he says they shouldn't think he's a cheap Jew. Oh, he's going to have to pay us. He knows he's going to have to give us a reward. So he's saying, no, don't put it out. Let it burn. So he didn't want them to think he was a cheap Jew. And number three, he didn't want to be personally nana from the Nes. Hashem made it rain. So he says, oh, wow. Now that Hashem, so to say, is going to deduct from my zechuyos that he made it go without my having to pay the money, the tip that I would normally have to give to them. So I give it to them anyway. And this way, I'm not being nana at all from the Nes. I would have paid them $100 if it wasn't for the Nes. I'm still paying $100 even if there is a Nes. Therefore, I'm not nana min ha-Nes. Okay. Then the Gemara quotes the Mishnah where it says, Avokotun shebo l'chabos, if the child comes, ain shavalo, you have to tell him to stop. You can't just let him do it. Why? Because it is your obligation to stop another Jewish person's child from doing an avera. Gemara says, really? Shamas minei, we see from here, kotun ochel nevelos, if a young child is eating nevelos, based in mitsuyim, all of lafrisho, is the based in actually obligated to go and stop him from doing that? He's eating it on his own. So are you mechuyev to stop him from doing that? So Rashi says, this is v'tikshel Rav Yochanan. This is a question, either to Rav Yochanan or on the side, it says it really was Rav Pedas who asked this question in Yevamos, that L'Rabba Bar Rav Chana, the irchasu lei matecho shel beis ha-medrash v'shus ha-rabim b'shabbos, he lost the keys to the beis ha-medrash someplace in the v'shus ha-rabim, and now it's on Shabbos, they needed the keys to the beis ha-medrash. So he said, go bring Tali Talyosa, go bring little boys and girls, li taile hosom, to go and play over there, and mistama, di mishkachle, who, if they find the keys, they'll bring them back on their own, maislo. In other words, I'm not mechuyev to stop them from doing an avera of carrying in a rishus harabim, dalet amos, and bringing it back into the rishus hayochid. So, how can you tell me that over here you're obligated to stop this child? You see that you're not obligated. He's doing on his own. So Rav Yochanan says that's not a raya. The katan also l'das avid. Here we're talking about that this katan is doing it. He sees his father's house is burning down. So that's why he's going to put it out, because he's doing the ratzon of his father, and that's why not. But when the katans were playing, the katanim were playing over there in the field, they see a bunch of keys, so they don't realize they're doing anything to benefit their father. Therefore, you're not mechuyev to stop them. Where it says, if that's true, the kavasi gabi nachui, so then when the nachui is putting out the fire, so the ka'ovil dati Yisrael, why is he putting out the fire? He's doing it because he assumes or knows that you want the fire put out. So how does that allow me share it? So if a guy is doing something for you on Shabbos, you're not allowed to have it done. Someone says, no. Nachri l'dayti d'nav she'avit. The Nachri is doing it for his own selfish reasons. He's putting it out because he knows he's going to get a reward. He's putting it out because he's going to curry favor with you. He's not doing it to help you. He's doing it to help himself. Oh, that's allowed. That's not a problem. Next Mishnah. Kofin kara agabi aner. You're allowed to go and put a ka'ara, a plate. Rashi says this is shocheris. It has to be made out of earthenware, because if it was metal, then it would heat up by putting it over the flame, and that would be an issur of mavir on Shabbos. So Rashi Badavka says it's something that can't heat up, like a kli cheris. So you're allowed to put it on top of the flame. Rashi also says, ubavach lo yechabet, that it make sure you don't get rid of all the oxygen. You have to leave a little air being able to get in, but you're allowed to put it on top of this flame to block the flame from burning the roof down, as we'll see. There's a beam over it, and the fire is getting out of hand, so you can put some sort of an earthenware utensil on top of this flame to block the flame from burning down the house. The Alpha Pishinoto Kli, that's all as Kora, Rashi continues, even though you're moving this Kli for the purposes of this beam. Now, the beam is Muktzah. Shenu Nitelis B'Shabbos. And how are you allowed to move a Kli for something that's Muktzah? Oh, we already learned the Omar ain't Kli Nital, El Dover Nital, that you're not allowed to move a Kli except for purposes that the item that you're moving it for is also allowed to be moved. So you can't move a Kli for something that's Muktzah. And we answered over there, B'tzorach L'Makomo. So it depends. You needed this Kli for some other reason. You needed the place where this Kli was. Once you're moving it, then you're allowed to move it further. That's one of the many terutzim that are given over here. In any event, the Mishnah tells us you're allowed to put a overturned plate on top of this Nair. A Nair is a lamp. Kofin Karba Agabi Anair Bishul Shalot Techos B'Korba. Because we're afraid that this flame is going to hit this beam. There's a board over here that the flame is going to go and catch it on fire. So you're allowed to do this before it catches on fire. Likewise, you can overturn a plate over here on the excrement over here, Shokotan. The Gemara will explain exactly what this is. And likewise, Al Akrav Shalotishach. And you can likewise overturn the plate on top of a scorpion, Shalotishach. Shouldn't bite you, it shouldn't sting you. Amr Yehuda, however, Yehuda says, Maisa Bolof Nerom Yochum Zakai, such a Maisa happened on Shabbos in front of Yochanan Zakkai, when he was living in Be'arov. Arov, Rashi says, is the name of a place. Yochanan Zakkai lived there for many, many years. And this once came to him that somebody did this. They put a plate over an Ochosh. And he said, I really don't know if that's allowed. Choshashani lo mechatos. This might be actually an Issa Daraisa. As Rashi says, Kivot, the Lohoya Akrav Rotzach. Well, this wasn't a Pikuach Nefoshu situation. The scorpion was not running after him. Again, I want to stress over here, whenever there's even a Sofek of Pikuach Nefoshu, you do everything like even Isurim Daraisa, because it's better to denigrate one Shabbos and observe many, many, many Shabbosos otherwise. So therefore, the Halacha L'maisa is, of course, that whenever there's any Sofi Bikuch Nefoshos, whether it's the scorpion or whether it's the fire, you obviously must do even Isurim Daraisa to save a life. So here we're talking about that there was zero Sofi Bikuch Nefoshos. Lohya Akrav Rotzach, Rav Rashi says. And he says, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai here wasn't sure what the halacha is. It was Choshesh, Imchai Mishum Tzida. Is this trapping or not? Imlam, it's not trapping because he really doesn't need it. Choshashani Lomar Chayv Chatas. And therefore he was saying, maybe this guy's Chayv Chatas. Morris often tells us, Rav Yehuda, one Amora, Rav Yirmi Ba'ava, another Amora, Rav Chanan Barava, a third Amora, Iklu Lebei Oven. They went to Oven's house. And where was this oven from? Dimin Nishikaya. That's the name of a place called Nishikaya. Now, the servants came out and they gave to two of them Yeroim chairs. The Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yirmi Ba'ava, returned to Yomid Beis, Aisulhu Puriyasa. They gave him Mitos, Rashi says, Lei Sheva Lam. They gave him beds to sit on. They used to sit on low-lying beds when they would eat. So he gave him beds. However, to the third Amora, the Rav Chanan Bar Rava, they didn't think he was such a big Talmud Chacham. And Lo Aisule, they didn't give him a mat. They didn't give him a bed. They said, sit on the ground. So he was not happy about this. So Rav Chanan Bar Abba is going to say something. So what happened? Ashechei, Rav Chanan Bar Rava, later during the day, they were by Ovin. He saw Masle Livrei, that Oven was teaching his son the following Mishnah, and he said, V'yaltzoa shel katan. Now that's all we had in our Mishnah, but he was learning it, V'yaltzoa shel katan mipnei katan. You're allowed to go and overturn the plate on the excrement of a katan, because mipnei katan, Rashi explains, that shelo yitathach behu vislach l'chech, that the katan shouldn't play with the excrement over here and dirty himself. So that's what Oven taught his son. So Amalei, Rav Chanan bar Rava tells Oven, Oven shatya, masne shtusa lune. The foolish Oven teaches foolish stuff to his child. Rashi explains, he was very upset that they didn't give him a chair. He wanted Rabbi Yavin to know that what his servants were doing was improper. How did they not give a Talmud Chacham a chair to sit on? Who are they to give a decision that these two Talmud Chacham are Chashav and this one's not Chashav? So he said, why do you have to do this? Why is it foolish what you're doing, teaching your son over here, that you're allowed to go and put a plate on top of it? You could move it. He says, it itself, this tsoa of the katan, is not muktza. He atzma muchenis l'klovim. As Rashi points out, that this was something that the dogs would eat. And therefore, Rashi explains, v'lomu l'chapus kli. Why do you have to put a kli on top of it? If nua, just move it yourself, misham, from that place, and your child won't get dirty from it. Shariyui l'talta, because this is muchan. You can give it to your dog to eat, so therefore it's not muktza. So therefore, why are you putting a plate on top of it like it was something that was muktza? That's what Rav Chanan bar Rava told Oven. You're going to tell me, it wasn't there from yesterday, and therefore it's muktza, it's no lad. That's not true. Vatanya, we learn the Gemara in a number of places. The Tosefta says as follows. Had this in Beitza, in Erevin, and other places. Noharos hamoshchin. If you have on Shabbos a problem with tchum, but you want to drink water, and there's a river that's flowing in front of you, or mayanos hanovin, or you have a spring over here that's flowing in front of you, harehen kiragle kol odam. Even though it came from outside the tchum, at the start of Shabbos, this water was 5 miles away. And now in front of you on Shabbos morning, the water is here. It's considered within your tchum, and you're allowed to go take this water any place where you're allowed to go. Now, it's considered karagle kol adam. Whoever goes and picks up this water, drinks this water, takes this water in a cup, so that person is allowed to do this. There's no problem with tchum Shabbos, that he's taking something from outside the tchum, and it can't move dalet amos. So Rashi explains that's exactly what's going on over here with the tzoa. The person knows that this tzoa is going to come out of his child. So just like the water that was 5 miles away, he knows on Shabbos that he has in mind that he's going to drink from this well, from this spring, from this river, even though the waters were far away because he's expecting those waters to flow here. So too, he expects the excrement from his child on Friday in his body to come out on Shabbos. And therefore, even though it came out on Shabbos, it's allowed to be used to feed his dogs. It's muchan. So therefore, he told, Rav Chanan bar Rava told Oven, you're learning this wrong. It's not so shel katan mipnei katan. The katan's excrement you can move. So Oven says, Vela hechi isnai. So what's the right girsa? So he says, Ema al tsoa shel tarnegolim mipnei katan. So Rav Chanan bar Rava said the right way to read this is the tsoa of tarnegolim, the excrement of chickens, which is not edible. Dogs don't eat that. That you're allowed to move, because that's muktzah. However, mipnei katan, that your child shouldn't get himself dirty with the excrement of the tarnegolim, that you're allowed to move. Gemara says, V'tebikle David graf shori'i. Why don't we allow you to move it? Because it's the disgusting utensil, and disgusting utensils you're allowed to move because it's mius, it's disgusting, and you're not mechuyev to have it there. It's only the rabbanon that you can't move it. So the rabbi said, in this situation, we didn't institute this. Gemara says, v'chitem ograv shori agav mana in you gufe lo. Maybe you're going to suggest that the only time you're allowed to move the graf shori is when it's in a container, when it's in some sort of a klicheris. The graph is a klicheris, so that's when you're allowed to move it. It's in the chamber pot, but you're not allowed to move the excrement by itself. Maybe that's what you're going to suggest. Someone says, no. V'ha, how achbar, there once was a mouse, dishtakach bis parmake de Ravashi, that they found it within the spices of Ravashi. And Ravashi said, v'ama, lo, he told the servants, nukutu bitzutzise, go grab it by its tail, bitzutzise, it's its tail, v'yavku biashu, and throw it in the garbage. So you see, you're allowed to move it directly. Someone says, so wait, we said, what's a cotton doing over there in the ashba? Why would there be an ashba over here? Shmuel says, b'chotzi, it was in the courtyard. Shmuel says, chotzunami, so grav shorihu. So if this is in a courtyard, so again, this is something disgusting. So therefore, why can't you move it directly? Because it's a grav shorihi. Why do you have to put a kli on top of it? Gemara says, "Ba'ash boshe b'chotzer." No, it's in a garbage area in his chotzer. It's not going to be disgusting over there because it's in the garbage. But the kid's going to go play with it, so therefore you want to cover it up so the kid doesn't get dirty. That's the gersa that we have. The Vilna Gaon and the Nagos Hagor brings down from the Rif that it's b'chotzer acharis. It's somebody else's courtyard, so it doesn't bother you. So it's not a grav shori, but your kid's going to go play over there, and therefore we don't allow you to move it, but we do allow you to go and put a plate on top of it. The Gemara continues and says, V'al akrov, for the scorpion, shlo tishach. We quote the Mishnah, he said, you're allowed to put a plate over the scorpion that it shouldn't go and bite you, shouldn't sting you. Omer Yishuv ben Levi says, call him azikin, Nerog Meshabbos. Any animal that's potentially going to kill people on Shabbos, it's a damaging animal that could kill, so you're allowed to go kill it on Shabbos. More questions. This one says, wait a second, Moshe Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, we have a brisa that says only certain animals can be killed, not all animals, like Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi tells us. And the brisa says, Chamisha Nerogim b'Shabbos, only the following five animals are allowed to be killed on Shabbos just when you see them. Ve'eluhein, these are the following animals. Zvuv Sheberetz Mitzrayim, there was a certain fly in Mitzrayim, a zvuv, that was a very dangerous fly, and this could kill you. So therefore, you're allowed to go kill it, even if you see it, even if it's not attacking you. Ve'tzira Sheberinve, likewise, this tzira, tzira normally translated as like a hornet or a wasp of some sort, that was found in Ninveh. This is also a certain type of a dangerous creature, right? We just had in the United States, they were talking about these murderous hornet clouds. So we see that these insects can be very serious. The Akrav Shebechadjav, a place called Chadjav, had a certain type of scorpion there that was dangerous. The Nochash Shebechadjav, the Nechashim in Eretz Yisrael. That's why we have the whole problem with Gilui. The snakes in Eretz Yisrael, they would insert their poison into uncovered waters, and that's why there was such a concern about these uncovered waters. You weren't allowed to drink them. So these snakes were very dangerous. And likewise, V'chelav Shota, a rabid dog, a crazy dog, B'chol Makom, in any place. So this brisa says that only these five animals. Now, Mani, who's the author of this brisa? Ilam or Yehuda. If you want to tell me this is the opinion of Yehuda, he says that you wouldn't be allowed to even kill these animals, again, unless it was actual pikuach nefashos. Again, we're not talking here, it's an actual pikuach nefashos. Of course you can kill it. So this brisa is not talking about what's actual pikuach nefashos, and yet it says you can kill it. So it can't be obviously the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because he says the malach shein tzrich leguf, even though you're not interested in trapping this animal, you're not interested in the hides or this insect in any way, shape, or form, you're just doing it to remove a mazik. But he says, even though that's not your intention to trap it, it's malach shein tzrich leguf. Nevertheless, chayvela, you are chayv for it. So obviously, the author of this brisa is not Rabbi Yehuda. So who else is left? It's only Rabbi Shimon. El Rabbi Shimon. This is the famous sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Says malach shein tzrich legufa is potter, but it says only these five. Vahani hu dishari, only these five. Achrini lo. But if it's Rabbi Shimon, he should allow all of them. So kasha on you, Rabbi Shimon Levi, who says you're allowed to kill all of them. Rabbi Shimon Levi is an Amora, albeit he's mentioned in the very last mikshin uktzin. He is mentioned in a brisa there, and normally only Tanoim mention brises. So they say the famous word that if you go through Shas and you reach the very last Mishnah, so then you become a Tana. Even though you're in a Mora beforehand, you become a Tana. It's a beautiful, nice, beautiful drosh. That's not the halacha. You know, Rabbi Shmuel Levi is considered an Amora. So how can he argue with this brisa? So more answers. Rabbi Yirmi says, Uman Neimulon, Dah Mitar Tzohi. Who says this brisa is accurate? It must be that this brisa isn't accurate. It's not one of the brises that Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shaya learned. Only the brises that Ruchi and Rav Ashaya learned. Others would not be as careful with their brises. They might interpret them wrong. So therefore, discard this brisa. And therefore, you don't have a question with Shimon Levi. This was not one of the brises. They knew this was not one of the brises of Ruchi and Rav Osha. So Rav Yosef was the one that asked the question, said, wait a second, I'm telling you this is an accurate brisa. I know Masnisa law. I learned this brisa of Osivna law, and I know that this brisa is a good brisa. I know I'm a Taritzna law, and I'll give you a Taritz for this brisa. The accuracy of this brisa is not to be questioned. There's a stira between my brisa and Rav Shmuel Levi. I'll give you the answer. Beratzu achrov, this brisa that Rav Shmuel Levi brought that you're allowed to go and kill any one of these creatures, that's when they're attacking you. So that's pikuach nefashos. So of course you're allowed to go kill them if they're running after you. Beratzu achrov, so that's why you're allowed to. And even Rav Yehuda, who holds that Dover Shena Miskavi is chayav, he says also, if I'm older, that in that situation, the animal's coming after you, you're allowed to go and kill it. But the brisa that we brought down, that was the five creatures, only those five creatures. So that's when they're not chasing after you. So in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who's the author of that brisa, you're only allowed to kill those five creatures. They're the only ones that you so to say kill them, not for any benefit other than getting rid of them but you don't want anything from them. You just don't want them to attack you. So they're so dangerous that even if they're not attacking you, you're allowed to go and kill them. All the other animals, you're not allowed to attack if they're not killing because they're not so dangerous. But everybody agrees, if they're attacking you, you're allowed to go kill them. That's how we reconcile all these opinions. Gemara tells us, Tani Tana Kamedi Rav Bar Ravuna, another Tana, which means an Amora, taught a Braisa in front of Rav Bar Ravuna. When we say Tani Tana, it means the one who taught the Braisas. He's an Amora who taught the Braisas, and he taught this Braisa in front of his Rebbe, Rav Bar Ravuna. And he said, if somebody goes and kills snakes or scorpions on Shabbos, the Braisa said that the Chasidim, the righteous individuals, they're not happy with this. Why? Because you shouldn't go kill creatures on Shabbos for no reason. Again, it's not pikuach nefasho, so therefore you shouldn't do it. So the Rebbe said, Omar lo, Rabba bar Rav Huna said to this Talmud, he said, Ba'osu chasidim, those people that are, quote, righteous, ain't ruach hachamim nocha hanam. The rabbis, the real righteous ones, they're not happy with those chasidim because they're making a mistake. Because why would anybody be upset about killing noch, choshim, and achrabim? These are dangerous creatures, and you can kill them. However, this opinion of Rav bar Rav Huna actually argued with his own father, Rav Huna. Uplig the Rav Huna, he himself, the son, Rav Rav Huna, was arguing with his own father's opinion. The Rav Huna himself, his father, Chazil Hal Gavra, he saw once a person killing on Shabbos, the Kokotul Zibura, was killing a certain type of an insect, a bee, on Shabbos, and he told him, Rav Huna said to this person, Amalei, Shlamintinu Lechulu, did you go and kill all the bees? Why are you killing this bee? It wasn't attacking you, it wasn't bothering you, so you think you're doing a favor by killing one bee? There's billions of other bees. So therefore, it doesn't really do any benefit, and you shouldn't have done this. So Rava Bar Rav Huna, who said it's okay to go kill these animals, held like Rabbi Shimon, disagreed with his father, Rav Huna, whom his stomach either didn't hold like Rabbi Shimon or didn't think that this was a dangerous enough creature. In any event, Tana Rabban, we have another Braisa, Nizdamnu lo nechoshim v'yakrovim. Here's more of a homiletical discussion, that if a snake or a scorpion comes in your presence on Shabbos, so Haragun, if you kill it, b'yadua shenizdamnu lo laragun, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up this way. Rashi has an interesting lashon over here. Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it this way, l'kach bo l'yado shezim lo hamokom la'avdo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu let you be the one to destroy, get rid of these creatures, l'fi show you asidos l'hazik, because they eventually are going to damage, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gilgalo zuchus ayde zakai, he allowed a righteous person like you to have the zuchus of going and killing these animals. So it's an interesting idea that if this a snake over here, a scorpion, these dangerous creatures, were to go and meet with you on Shabbos, and you kill them, it's hashkocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave you this opportunity. However, lo harogun, if you didn't kill it, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu send them in your way? Because they were going to kill you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there's some zechus that you have that I'm not going to let them kill you. So again, it's teaching us this interesting idea. Herul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi says, shechata, that he did some sort of a sin, that he deserved to die with the shliach over here of the snake or the scorpion. El shenatzel neis, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, made a miracle and didn't have this animal kill you. However, Ula says, Amar Ula, Vitema, Rabbi Baruch Hanna, others say it was Rabbi Baruch Hanna, Amar Yochanan, Bini Shofin Bo. We're here talking about that the snake is making some sort of a hissing noise. Rashi says, Kach derech hanochosh ose kein shrika. It's shrieking. It's making some sort of a hissing sound. Kishuroa sona, when he sees human beings who he hates, v'kois, and he gets angry, he gets agitated. So therefore, he's on the warpath, and therefore, that's why you're allowed to go kill it over here. That's what Ula says in this situation. What about the akrav? The akrav normally doesn't make hissing sounds. So some have the gears over here that the word nishofim means attacking. It's not necessarily hissing. Or maybe the akrav makes some sort of a noise also. In any event, maybe it's only talking about the snake. However, you learn nishofim, so it either applies only to the snake or it applies also to the akrav, depending on what the word nishofim means. Another Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba Rechana, Rabbi Kahana says, Pamachas nofal echad beveis medrash. One time, a snake fell in the middle of the beis medrash on Shabbos. But Amad Nivosi, a person who came from Nivos, that's the name of a place, Rashi tells us he was a Jewish person, and this person went and killed this snake. So, Gemara says, Amar Nivosi echad barogo, and Amar Rabbi pagabo kayotzebo. And Rabbi said, what's an enigmatic statement, he said, just like this snake, this person was just like this snake. So what exactly did he mean by that? Is that a positive or a negative statement? So the Gemara says, Yiboilu, they asked, Pogabo, Kayotzibo, the shopper of it, is Rebbe saying a positive thing, that just like this snake over here was a rotzeach. This snake was a rodev. It's coming to kill. So this person acted properly and acted like a rodev, acted like a rotzeach to kill it. In other words, he did the right thing. Although, what do you mean? No, just like the snake's a horrible creature, so this person was acting in a bad way by killing this snake on Shabbos. So they didn't know what Rebbe meant when he said, Poga bo ki yotzi bo. So we're going to try to bring a proof. Toshma, the Rebbe Abba, Bered Rebbe Chia bar Abba, Rebbe Abba who was the son of Rebbe Chia bar Abba, Rebbe Zera, they both will have a yasve akilo de Rebbe Yanai. They're both sitting on the stoop, on the porch of Rebbe Yanai. He was the Rebbe. Nafak Mils Benayim, they're having a Torah discussion. They're discussing back and forth Torah. Words come out between them. And they ask the Rebbe, Rebbe Yanai, Bamin Rebbe Yanai, Mahu laharog nechoshiv akron b'Shabbos. Is one permitted to go and kill snakes and scorpions on Shabbos? Omar Luhu, so Rebbe Yanai tells them, he says, Tzira nihorg, I go and kill the tzira, this hornet, this wasp, on Shabbos. However, nochav yakrov lo kol shekein, if I go and kill a tzira, I certainly would allow to go and kill these more dangerous creatures like the nochash and the akrov. Or says, maybe not, though. Dilma lefi tumo. Maybe what Rav Yanai was saying to them is not that you're allowed to go and intentionally go out of your way and kill it, but if you happen to be walking, lefi tumo, so then you're allowed to go and kill it. As Rashi points out over here, dilma lefi tumo, lo shi yamor olav yargen, not that you go out of your way and go and kill it, hedja, directly. Elikishu holich, when he's walking, holich letumo, the nachash or akra befana, and there's a snake or a scorpion in his path, ain't certainly shomit mimen, he doesn't have to walk around it. Eladarcho, he can keep on walking, vaholech, and walk on top of it. The mace, bedricha, so and it gets killed while he's walking, he almost dies. Hovel in a scabbing, he didn't intend to do this, and this is the dover shenam scabbing, Rav Yehuda midrabbanan, who this iser, even according to Yehuda, is only an iser drabbanan, and since these are mazikin, or linian mazikin over here, lo gozer, even Rav Yehuda would say that they didn't make a gzera in this situation. And that's what Dilma Lifnei Tumo means, as the Gemara says, Dam Rav Yehuda, where do we see that this is correct? Rok Darsel Lifnei Tumo. If a person has spit on the ground, so this rok there is disturbing, it's disgusting, and he wants to get rid of it, so he's allowed to walk on it and like rub it into the ground through his normal walking. And the Omer Rishesh said, likewise, Nachash Darsel Lifnei Tumo. If you're walking and you don't go out of your way to do this, but you're just walking, you don't have to go out of your way not to do this, and you can step on the nachash and kill it, and likewise on Katina, akrav dorsal fitumo, in all of these situations, you're allowed to go and do this. It's your, so to say, normal walking that you're doing, and there is no problem with you going and stepping on them and killing them or wiping out the spit over here. It's not a problem. Maisa shoya, abu b'marta. Who's Abba Bar Marta? To Abba Bar Minyumi. He was also known as Abba Bar Minyumi. Some suggest that Marta was his mother's name and Minyumi was his father's name. In any event, that's this person, Abba. Habi Maskebe Devei Reish Kalusa Zuze. He was unfortunately owing money to the Reish Kalusa's people. And they didn't take lightly to the fact that he didn't pay them back. He didn't have the money, Nebuch. So Aituhu Komatsarele. So they brought him to the Reish Kalusa's house and they gave him a hard time. Komatsarele. Now, Havashah de Ruka. Now there was some spit. This was on Shabbos, and there was some spit there lying on the ground, and they didn't know what to do with it. So Amalu Reish Kalusa, Reish Kalusa told them, Aisumana, go and bring some sort of utensil, and Srifo Ilave, and go and turn it over and put it on top of the spittle so we don't have to look at this disgusting spittle all day long. But this person, Abba Bar Marta, Abba Bar Minyumi, he said, you don't have to do that. Amalu, Lo Tzrichusa, why are you doing that? You don't have to go and bring a utensil and put it over it. You can go and step on it. We just learned that you're allowed to go and walk over it, and if you rub it into the ground, it's not a problem. So they saw that he was a Talmid Chacham. Amalu, the Reish Kalusa said to all the people that were giving him a hard time because he owed the money, this guy's a young Talmid Chacham, Shivkuli Malone. He'll pay you back when he can. He doesn't have the money, don't worry about it. The Gemara is going to conclude today's shiur with three stories additional about Rav Abba Bar Kahana. We had mentioned them previously. When the snake fell into the base medrash, so we have three additional stories about him. He's not a very commonly mentioned Amora, so therefore we mentioned additional details about him at the same time, even though they're unrelated to a certain extent or they're similar. This was easier for them to memorize these types of statements. So Gemara says, Amir Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Amir Rabbi Chanina. He's sending Rabbi Chanina, Pamutos. What are Pamutos? So Rashi tells us, Minoros. Velo Shechuyos Hayu. This was some sort of an elaborate, large candelabra or lamp, and it wasn't made up of sectional parts. If it was made up of sectional parts, they'd be concerned that it would fall apart, and you put it back together, so that would be a different discussion. But here he says, these Pamutos, Shalbeis Rebbe, these large lamps in the house of Rebbe, Mutal Teltel on Shabbos. You're allowed to move them on Shabbos. They weren't used that Shabbos, so they weren't weren't mukta, and you needed them for whatever the reason, you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. Abba Rezera said to him, "Vinitolim biyado achas ubishtei yadayim." And this will be a similar question that we're going to ask again in the next case. That's the similarity between these cases. So Rezera said, how large was this over here that you could move it with requiring two hands, or you could even move it with one hand that's small enough? That was the question. We turn to the Omer Aleph. So he said, he responded, Rav Abba Bar Kahana said to Rav Zeira, Amalo, Ka'osan shel beis avicha. This is similar to the candlesticks, the lamps that were in your father's house, which Rashi says, the ketanos hayu. They're small, and that's why you're allowed to move them. Avo gedolos, but the larger ones, a person doesn't expect to move them, so he designates them in that spot, adam kovel hamakom, and you wouldn't be allowed to move them. Another statement that he said, another statement made in the name of Rav Chanina, kronos. What are kronos? These are wagons. Shalbeis Rebbe, that were in the house of Rebbe, mutal l'tatlum Shabbos. He said, you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. So again, the same question, Rezera asked, Amal Rezera, when you told him, b'yodam echad, or b'shnei b'yodam, how big are they? Can they be moved by one person, or can be moved by two people? So Rav Abba Kahana says to him back, Amal k'osu shalbeis avichad. Again, the same answer, just like the ones that are in your father's house. And again, Mustama, this is talking about small ones that you're allowed to move with one hand, so they're allowed to be moved, but large ones no, because they're kovel lemakum. Finally, the last statement he said, here he doesn't say the name of Rabbi Chanina, but he says, he mentions that Rabbi Chanina allowed in the house of Rabbi, he allowed them to go drink the wine that was in the barrels, the kronos, where the barrels were being transported via these wagons. So he allowed them to, even though they were delivered by the Nachri, and there was only one seal on them, he allowed them to say that they're still kosher. He didn't require two seals. So that's the simple statement. And the Lo Yadana, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana said, this is what Rabbi Chanina allowed, but I don't know why he allowed it. Lo Yadana, Imishum Desovaloki Rabbi Lezer, is it because he held like the opinion of Rabbi Lezer that you don't require two seals, that wine, one seal is enough? Or was it a different reason? Imishum Emasa de Benesil. This was a unique situation because this is going to the Nasi's house. And the Nasi's, there was a certain pachad. Nobody would touch anything over there because they were terrified. If they were found out, they'd be in a lot of trouble. But to a regular person's house, you would require two seals. So he said, this is what Rav Chanina paskin for the house of Rebbe, but I don't know why. Was it because he paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that you only need one seal? Or this was a unique exception to the rule. Everybody else would need two seals, but the house of Rebbe would only require one seal. Again, we learned today shiur for Mike Teplitsky's mother. Mike's been a member of the shiur for many years. Tzina Fega Basra Moshe Issa, her neshama should have an aliyah with all the other neshamas that we've learned for. Yitzhak Hashem, everybody should have a safe, great day.